It's terribly hard to follow after a man like Carol, because the earthen vessel, which is Carol Hinderly, doesn't lose very much in transmission. Everything anyone says or writes usually comes out of some experience. Many of the things that flow out of Carol come from his experience in the prison of war camp. I never have any dramatic experiences. I'm very fortunate that way. This was based on sort of a tragic comedy experience. A couple of years ago, I went up with a bunch of Presbyterian men to a men's retreat up in the Arrowhead area above San Bernardino. Can everyone hear me? How about you in the back room? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Any protesters, speak up. This is very informal. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
What?
I can hardly hear you. I can hardly hear you. You can hear me, so I went up. You know, you go to the sauna every day and your ears get so full of sauna water that you can't quite hear. Well, anyway, we went up there on this retreat, and the little book, when men go on retreats, they bring along a book to achieve proper piety. It usually has covers that are pretty close together, and you very seldom read it. But this one was Hans Rudy Weber's Salty Christians. And it was based upon the verses from Matthew, with which you're all familiar. And they read, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father." Your glorious words, and they should be an inspiration to everyone. I'm sure they were an inspiration to all the men there, because I noticed shortly after the discussion started, everyone was immediately willing to look upon himself as the light of the world. They have no difficulty at all. The Presbyterians have a way of thinking in terms of sudden conversion. You accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and then you promptly kick him under the rug, and then you're the light of the world. So it's an easy position to acquire. And then you turn your back on him and run around saving the world and being light. So their attitude that struck me was, in spite of how difficult it was to be the light, they even managed to bear this agony of being the light of complete aplomb. It kind of ground on me as this went on for 3 days. So when I came back to Santa Monica, and on the church's time, I beat something out on my Olympia and mimeographed it and sent it to every man who was at the retreat. And this is it. So now you have the Zitzim Leben, the situation in life in which this thing came off my typewriter. Something like my piano dedicating experiences. You know, just before I was called upon to dedicate this piano, I had suffered through three run-of-the-mill dedications that were full of a lot of sugary platitudes. And that was what I vomited back up from that situation. Well, here we go on the light of the world. The title of it is I'm Joe Dope. Being more or less about answers, lights, examples, and good works. I'm Joe Dope. I used to be a problem. I used to hang around God, sniveling about my unworthiness, and asking him to give me a free ride. That's all past now. That was before I heard about how much muscle a guy has if he'll only use it to improve himself. That was before I heard the great inspirational sermon I'll never forget that day. I was sitting in church with all the rest of the problems. I'd already spent my dollar and the minister had been warming up for 20-odd minutes. I'd finished counting the ceiling tile, estimating the seating capacity. Are there people on here? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
If you can't, speak up. This is very informal. Break in any time. Eat all the peanuts you want. Does anybody have any Cracker Jack? Where were we? Oh yeah, I'd already finished counting the ceiling tile, estimating the seating capacity, and wondering which girl had a Tony. I was staring at the fixture, which eternally throws a light on a stained glass Jesus. I was wondering whether it ever goes out, leaving him in the dark. Then it hit me. The minister said, "You have a choice to make. You are either a part of the problem or you're a part of the answer." Immediately I was transformed. I looked around me. Everyone still looked the same. They all looked just as problematic as ever. Only me and the minister, we looked like the answer. Just then the light went out. It was a great Christian experience. I think it is called going from Christ. What a tremendous sensation it gives you. "You can do it, Joe," I whispered. "No, you can do it, Joe," I whispered. In voice modulation is very important when you read with me, Joe. I'm sure everyone except me has learned this long ago. Where were we?
Whispering.
It was a grand challenge, I thought. But it proved dead easy, almost no effort at all. "Why be half safe or part safe?" I thought. "I'll just cock the old sights a little higher, cram in a heavier load, and be all of the answer." Guess what? It's really easier to be all of the answer than to be just part of it. It eliminates seesawing over what the rest of it is. Anyway, it was easier for me. I'm probably blessed with some of that assurance you read about. Being a problem is a sweat. As answer, I never had it so good. Then one day I was reading the book, capital B. You have to read it 15 minutes a day to be the answer. It was one of the requirements. That and never missing church or any other place the problems sometimes hang out. That day I turned away from the Songs of Solomon and happened to hit on Matthew 5:14. "You are the light of the world." Hot diggity dare. But the problems don't know about this. They just plain don't believe it. They ain't got no faith. They don't believe Scripture. That's why they're problems. Now I'm both light and light and answer. Add those two together and you get example. Life, answer, and example. Life can really be beautiful for the guy who builds himself up like I have. There's really no limit to how far the good old positive approach can carry you. I don't know why Jesus thought he had to order me to shine from a hill or a stand, or not to hide my light. I've already shined from all the highest hills and stands I can find. They're all too low. I wish he'd speak to his dad about creating something, some higher ones for me. And that bit about hiding your light under a bushel. I could hardly shoehorn all my light into the Cow Palace or Madison Square Garden. So why talk about a bushel? I'd be a much more visible example if I only had a bigger stage. I'm glad he appreciates what I'm doing by calling it good works. I don't mind if they give the glory, whatever that is, to God, just so I keep on being the one they see and call example. That's quite a bit of glory, isn't it? But I still feel a bit short-changed. I read and read and reread and studied and studied that selfish remark Jesus made. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I can't seem to twist it. Where's my position as light of the world? Answer and example. It always appeared to me that I means him and not me or even we. That is, I am him. It certainly should have been not less than we, probably just a secretarial error. You know how these religious offices are. Someday you'll probably wake up to the boo-boo which happened when word got into print. Don't spread this. From now and then I have a weak moment when I wonder whether I'm really this big. Sometimes the old light generator dims down and the answers are more like question marks. Then I think Jesus said, you are the light of the world, just as God in Genesis said, let there be light, and there was light. Then his meaning seems to be, you are the light because you are the light because I, Jesus, have spoken. What I speak is, therefore, you are light. My word is reason for all being. The world will see you as light, not because of what you do or say, but because it is by my command that the world shall see what I have done for you, and also offer to all men who truly seek me. The world will receive a light of hope from even you, wretched man that you are, except for my grace. You, yes, you shall be a living example to those who have not yet found me, that my grace is sufficient for you in all your past, present, and future sinfulness, and is also therefore sufficient for them. I require that you be seen in this kind of light, this kind of example, and that you give this kind of answer to all those who will see you as light by my command only. I command also that you be not ashamed of the kind of light or example you are. Do not hide yourself. This is the good work I require of you. I, Jesus, am the way, the truth, and the light. Let this be your answer. Point to me. I am the Christ of all men forevermore. Be not concerned for personal worthiness. I value you. I wash your feet. For you I die and live constantly. Can you add to the value I have already placed on you, O foolish man? Rest in my grace. It is your crown. So I take a short rest. It never lasts very long. Most of the good old confidence, some return. It does sound from what Jesus said that I'm not quite the man I thought I was. I didn't seem to have much trouble seeing through the sham in other men. Am I a sham too? Do they see through me? Are my lights and answers really as weird as my example, and my example as silly as Jesus said? This is good works? You must be kidding, Jesus. Sure, I'm not perfect, but I can pretend well enough so nobody will see the thin spot. I remember so well how much pretending was when I was a youngster. Maybe I haven't outgrown it. Maybe no one ever does. Great old game, let's pretend. Away I go again, full steam ahead, being by pretending to be. Want to know something? Slowly there's getting to be some meat for me in Bonhoeffer, as quoted by Rudy Weber on page 49 of his booklet, Salty Christians. This was the book we were using.
This quote is from Bonhoeffer that appeared in that book. Quote, "The Christian is not a religious self. It is only by living completely in this world that one learns to believe. One must abandon every attempt to make something of oneself, that is to understand oneself, to analyze, to evaluate or understand oneself." This is my assertion. "Whether we should not try to understand whether we are a saint, a converted sinner, a church man, a priestly type so called, a righteous man or an unrighteous man, a sick man or a healthy one, but throw ourselves utterly into the arms of God. This is faith. And that is what makes a man and a Christian. How can success make us arrogant or failure lead us astray when we participate in the sufferings of God by living in this world?" To this, Rudy Weber adds, "To become a Christian does not mean to attain a certain degree of piety, nor to become a moral superman. Yet this I know." And this is the end of Rudy Weber's quote. Now, Joe Dokes is speaking again. "Yet this I know, because they see me, even me, Joe Dokes, there will be men who will give glory unto the Father who is in heaven, because and only because Jesus said, 'This shall be.' This is all of my life, my hope, my answer, and my example, offered in faith, just as I am. I still read the book. I still go to church. I still offer imperfect answers to the needs which surround me, which I help to create, and of which I am a part. I still sin. I still do all of these things quite regularly. But none of them seem like requirements anymore, certainly not the last one. There do not seem to be any requirements for me anymore. It increasingly seems as though someone has already fulfilled all of them. Or if there is one, it is only to admit all this as truth for me. This I, Joe Dokes, do. Having done so, I seem to be aware of a light. It's not very large, but I see it. Can it be, Lord? Can it be that others see it too? Is this the light? You said so, Jesus. Thank you." I can't tell you what a great experience holding this for me every time I come, and how much I want to stay up here an entire summer, and how much I hope to be able to do it next year. There's a possibility, just a possibility, not more than that, that Mrs. Fanning and I might arrange to come back yet sometime this year. But I'm not making any big plans for it. I hope that each of you, when you go from Holden, are able to see yourselves in the sort of a light of the world that I attempt to portray in Joe Dokes. As you tell the Holden story to everyone you meet and witness to your faith in Jesus Christ, God go with all of you.